This recording will be for the Emory School District Board of Education meeting held on Wednesday, March 3rd, 2010 at Cleveland Elementary School, beginning at 7 p.m.
Welcome in here to Cleveland Elementary for our school board meeting. All of our board members are present, as well as Superintendent Pritchard and Jared Black. We will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance to all stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, that's great. That was so. We have the first item are the consent items, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for January and February 2010. Are there any discussions on that?
No. I was moved to approve them.
Did you check on the minutes?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. And I did, sorry, thank you for reminding me. I added on we changed one little portion of the minutes to add that Claire and Durant had served as a temporary principal
Thank you.
So did you make the motion?
Who did?
I didn't make the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have some personnel actions, names for approval.
Yes, we have rising, which I think is four. These are people who have been recommended to replace people who have left us by the supervisors. Delana Pizzuto as the educational assistant or bus aide on the Capitol Center bus. That's to replace the former aide that took over as the driver of the bus. Andrea Larson and Nikki Withers as assistant track coaches at Emory High. And Dave Renson as assistant baseball coach. And also at Capitol Elementary, for temporary, for the rest of the school year, we have a 3-hour educational assistant. Their first grade is now over 30 students. We don't have the funding to split the class, so we're putting a 3-hour educational assistant in that class for the rest of the school year. And that's Jill Weber. So I would recommend to the board that they approve, if you approve those new hires.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have some policy revisions. JK and JIC, yeah. Student Count.
Student Conduct Policy, JIC. Okay. You looked in the old policy, was it actually almost a duplication of our, it was our old bullying policy. Yeah. So we developed a new bullying policy and revised the student conduct policy to outline what conduct is specifically prohibited by students in our school. And it also brings that in line with what's prohibited by state law and state board rules, and also helps schools deal with students who are habitually disruptive. We've had a couple of issues that have come up, I think, that probably brought attention to these policies this past couple of months. And so we've revised that policy and also recommend a revision of the student discipline policy, which was basically hadn't been looked at for 12 years. And since we were doing student conduct, we did student discipline. Some of the verbiage and the words were eliminated and shortened down a bit. But I think the biggest change is it specifically defines reasons for expulsion and suspension of students. And those reasons are taken directly from state law, what state law is on expulsion and suspension. So I am recommending that the board approve those policy revisions.
Is there any discussion on that? Any motion?
I would make the motion that we make the policy revision.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Now that you've done that, I wanted one more comment. Marie talked to me about one part. I did attach to the student discipline policy copy of the state law to actually disrupt his students. That's really not part of the policy, it's just the law. I wanted you to see how the law was outlined. If a student is habitually disruptive, if they're 9 years old or older, I guess they're not accountable for being habitually disruptive before nine in state law. But once they're 9 years old in state law, you can, if a student's actions are continuously disruptive, you can go through a process that they are identified as habitually disruptive, and it allows you to involve them in the juvenile court.
Okay.
Where they really haven't broken any specific laws, but they're just constantly disruptive, that you can use the juvenile court system to help you. And so that, I just attached that. It isn't really part of the policy. But the policy does reference.
I appreciate you calling and giving me that information.
I had a question back to item number three, two, personnel action.
Okay.
Did you get any recommendations from Principal Johnson and Greenism for names to be approved?
I didn't.
Okay.
It is a specific area that we're
working. It's for a track coach?
Oh, so, no, I haven't.
Okay.
So we'll follow up with him and see what's going on. So that's starting.
Yeah, it's next. They asked me to be the track coach, and I said I would do it. But we got to meet next Saturday, a week from.
Well,
it is Saturday.
You probably knew it would never be approved.
That's what I was wondering. Maybe he changed his mind. I don't know.
So you know a little bit about that.
They do have
some
doctors that like MII, and they're still covered with
it. Names for approval don't have to be listed on the agenda, so we should approve you, and then if he changes his mind, we'll let you know.
So I'd rather with board approval go to the track meet. That would be nice.
I'll contact Colin.
Okay. So do you want to put that in the next item? No. Anyway, we'll stick you in there.
Does anyone have a problem with that? Roy has helped his coaching class.
No. Do you want to do that now?
He's a glutton for punishment.
Okay.
Track is easy. You can't lose because of coaching in track.
I don't think you can.
It's harder to blame the coach.
Okay. So you have a motion for that then?
I'll go move.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nobody knows.
Okay, let's go to the request for family and medical leave.
We have two individuals who have requested family medical leave, both of them to have babies. Emily Nelson, who is a special ed educational assistant, I believe in Green River.
Yep.
And apparently has a high risk pregnancy, and even though the baby's not due until May, she apparently has to be in Salt Lake on the 15th of March on, so she will be out for the rest of the year. So she has requested family medical leave for that. And we also have Jason Norton, Castor Elementary Kindergarten, who will be having a baby, date of birth expected on the 11th of this month. And that's on May 26th, that's the last day of school. So. April 4th. Okay. Expect a day to return, and so I'd recommend the board approve those requests for family medical leave.
Well, I'd make a motion that we approve medical leave for them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we
I get to report we approved medical leave for Darlene DeBry, and she's doing very well.
Oh, good.
I visited her a couple of 3 days ago, and she's going to go to junior prom Friday night. He's doing pretty good.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks. We have an appointment of negotiating teams. I think Marie and I are already on a licensed group that's certified.
We were trying to, this is tentatively done and needed to be ratified in board meetings.
Oh.
And our recollection was it was with Roy and Nan Antlis that support staff.
Is that the way
Good.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Appointment of board member for buildings committee. That lights me out, me on trying for Sam if he's not on the other committee. Maybe not. actually, volunteer.
We might have an interest in this thing. This is, I'll let you know, Jared, we're starting the process now of looking at a schedule of either renovation or building of new school buildings in our school district. This committee will play an important role in doing that. We, you know, we're going to be looking at our building structurally and have the engineers doing that. But this committee will be will have a major role of helping us to set up a schedule of building goals.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jared. I don't know what else.
Pretty much covered it.
I didn't stay going for you.
It's fine. The first thing we need to do is get an architectural study of our buildings and develop a master plan for that, and so we'd like a member of the board to be on the committee and be involved with that and those discussions and help out. So if one of you has an interest, that would be great. And
if not, Laura will pull it.
Yeah. Or even if a couple of you are interested,
we have to find more than one.
Sure. Our family is saying that, but how often are we
doing that?
Right now and for the rest of this, I'm anticipating probably 3 meetings during the rest of this year. Just guessing, I don't have
any. Why don't we appoint somebody who acts like he has an interest in that, and then I think any board member could come to the meetings that would like to. Can we leave it that way?
As long as we don't have 3 of you at one meeting.
Oh, that's true. Okay. So we can kind of check. Well, that was
good.
I think you'd be very, very good there. Thanks. Okay, then Roy has agreed to do that. Moving the motion to.
I would make a motion that really serve on the building committee.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?
He wants a third gym in Greenwood right
now. That's
it. A new track. It's all about Roy.
I think we're more looking at Emory High.
I think that's the old part of Emory High. Okay, so we have approval of capital projects next.
Can I put a list of these in your packet to look over? We have several office projects that are not on that list that we either feel like we need to delay or that we just couldn't do. So this is the list of those that we would like to do this year, and just appreciate your approval so we can go ahead and start getting bids on those, etc. If you have any questions on any of them.
Is this a normal yearly amount?
The amount of projects is higher than this year than normal, but the dollar amount is about the same.
I was surprised that that one I saw that on the
water. Water treatment.
Yeah.
What is that?
This is something that Carrie Lake recommended from the maintenance perspective, and I don't remember all of the details. Kurt, help me out if you can remember, but it's a system they would like to put in the schools that does something to make it more efficient. I wish I had more information for you. According to Carrie, it was a pretty high priority.
Pretty high priority, critical.
I know he explained it to us. I just don't remember all of the details.
And I would trust his judgment.
But it was a project that cost roughly $20,000 district-wide, so we just allocated a tenth of that to each school.
Oh, I see. I was surprised that Greener was on propane. I thought they'd have natural gas down there.
No.
I will email you some more information about that.
I had a question about something here. Excuse me. Have we talked to the city about the Quonset hut? To donate to the city?
We have not.
They approached this quite a while ago.
Well, okay.
What we're going to do with it. And so we talked to Jared and Carrie when they were here about we either need to put a new door on it and fix it,
but then we're probably not even going to use it because it's so far away, or we can use it as a
It's kind of become a junk pile out there, okay, for lack of a better term, I guess.
And because there's no door on it, it's a liability, too.
It's true.
And run people out of it all the time.
The question we had was that they were approached by an individual. We weren't clear whether it was that they wanted us to donate it to the city or whether it was for personal use.
Yeah,
and we made the decision, we recommended that if it was for the city, we could donate it. If it's personal use, they need to sell it. And either way, they'll need to come and take it down and do all the work for them.
Okay. My other question about Cleveland was, this that says bleachers and dugouts on the lower quad, is that below the road? Below the road? Does the school use that at all?
Occasionally. Yeah. But you have a huge liability issue there. If you don't do something with those dugouts, this is not necessarily to make it usable as much as it is a liability issue.
Safe.
Because it is really in bad shape and dangerous.
It is in bad shape. I just didn't think
it was going to be. It's got to be fixed and
four or five
fixed
times
up or it needs to be torn down.
Okay.
Is it part that's used by the city too?
Pardon?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's used for little league and stuff.
It's more for that.
Those bleachers are going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
There's holes sticking up sometimes.
Yeah. They're bad.
We're donating
those baseball teams. Yes, exactly. All the spectators.
One thing that we have started to do is in the last 4 or 5 years is when the principal submits the list, then we schedule a time, and we get with Terry Lake and then Glenn and Jen and I and Jared and the principal. We actually walk through the buildings and we go over every item specifically, look at the problem, what it is, and then we kind of powwow after that and then prioritize and determine whether it's a safety issue, liability issue, high priority, if it's something that, you know, like roofing, that's, you know, and from that determine, go down the list, and there's probably just as many that were on here that aren't on here now that were originally that we just either putting off or not going to do at all. But.
So are there maybe if you have time or if there's funds available or what, there's some maybes on there?
Both
of us, okay.
Yeah. There are some things that we would like to do and we think would be nice and important but not such a high priority that we have to do them.
I did wonder if the putting the permanent fence across there at Canyonview where the old entrance was and possibly putting the fences back up, I think some kids probably would be interested in doing that for Needle Project. It would save them more.
I'll talk to the principal.
You could talk to him and also to Dana Gray,
okay,
who is really proactive about lining up Needle Project. And possibly, you know, they might even be able to take care of the parking lines on that new road if we were to supply them with materials for them. If we knew what the criteria was, I just think it could be a win-win if the maintenance didn't have to do that and some of the kids could get involved.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, then we need a motion for approval of the capital project.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have some reports now. First one is our summer lunch program. Janine Warren, we're happy to have you come.
Thank you for having me. I'd like to thank everybody in the room for their support of the food service program. I put a pink paper in front of you. It has numbers. Sarah and Boston Community, they just came out with wagons and strollers and moms and kids on bikes, and it was just a warm feeling to see that community activity going on. And then after they ate, they would go out and parents would visit and the kids would run and jump and play and visit too. So the sunshine, that exercise, it was just great. Huntington and Cleveland were very good at supporting us with numbers. There wasn't that same community excitement, but it was great to see the kids come out. Down towards the bottom you'll see average per day, how many they've had. But Chris transported, I have to say that those ladies down there are just wonderful. I mean, to put food in a van and haul it down there every day, you know, to walk away, but still, it's quite packed. And they were just smiling and glad to be doing it. We got a lot of support from the community center down there in Green River. They would come down and have lunch with us and do some projects and stuff. So that was nice that we had that too. And we've had a lot of parents in Green River and Huntington and Cleveland come also. At the top part where it has money amounts there, those are the local. That's the parents' meals that we sold. So the parents were actually purchasing meals to eat also. Financially, we did okay. You know, for doing it our first year, it tells me that it grows. It gets bigger, so it's a little scary a little bit, but some of the issues weren't problems at all going into it, the things that people were worried about. One of the issues was trash on the playgrounds. I believe them all three places once in June and once in July. And I picked up a Tampico carton, a milk carton, some PC packets, and one napkin, and one Curious George. Picked up two bags of trash off the playground, but that's what was ours. So I thought we did very well as far as trash. The other papers that I put there were little packets. And what that is each school for the month of February, and it just kind of breaks down numbers for you. It tells you what we have in lunch participation, breakfast participation, what our lunch average is daily, and our breakfast is average daily to school. And this year I started doing something new. I put down in the bottom a little profit and loss thing on each month so that the managers could see how they're doing financially each month instead of waiting until the end of the year and go, oh, that's a surprise. So as you look through, you can see where the green is. Most of all the schools are in the black except Emory High. And we are in the red there. In January, though, we opened an Oriental line and a salad and vegetable line along with the other food choices that they already were offering. And so there's lots of variety there. I think one thing we need to work on is getting it out to the public that for 2 1/4, so kids aren't going to find a better meal. And if they're on free or reduced, they really need to take advantage of it.
Mike did a really comment about the Oriental line.
They
didn't like that.
Yeah, it's really been a big hit with the kids that do participate. I just, if we could just
get more
participation, it would be fine. The other thing I looked at for Emory High is if we raised one share to $2.50 from 2 1/4, that would solve our problem of being in the red. I talked with the manager this morning, and her and I and June are going to get together and try to think of some other ways, some other things we can do. Now that we've got those other lines, I'd really like to keep them going. I would just like to spark the kids to realize it's there, and I don't think a lot of them do yet. So somehow we can get them to realize it. Those ladies, all of my schools still do all their baking. They do a lot of scratch cooking and a lot of cooking.
Do they really?
Yes. I've heard it said several times from people that it's prepackaged, and I could not figure out why they were saying that, because it's not true. And I got looking, and the ladies pre-portion the food to make the lines move faster. So I think that it gives the impression of pre-packaged, but it's actually they have came in, cooked it all, and pre-portioned it to set it so that the kids can move through the line quicker. So we'll be working on that, and if you have any suggestions, any questions, anything at all, ever, give me a call. I'd love to talk with you. So, thank you.
Thank you, Denise. You do an amazing job with that.
Will the summer program go pretty much like it did last summer?
Yes, that was another thing I did want to talk about. We are going to do the summer lunch program at those three sites.
And the menu will again include, you know, kids' favorite things and lots of fruits and fresh and vegetables. And another thing we're looking at is partnering with libraries.
So that they can incorporate a reading program with lunch. That's great. Thank you. That was a big undertaking to add the summer program as well. Got it working well for you. Next report is, how about this? It's at Principal Clark, you're on. Wherever you're most comfortable.
Well, I'm real comfortable. We just want to first thank the school board for your support at Cleveland Elementary. And we feel like we have a pretty good school here and things are going pretty well. And I know we'd like to welcome you here. And let you know that Cleveland Elementary is a 2009 nationally recognized Blue Ribbon School of Excellence. I hope you saw the banner in the front hall as you come in, and we'll share with you the award here in a minute. But we feel pretty fortunate to have the faculty and staff that we do have here, and we feel like we have a more of a sense of community than most places do, and that we, you know, we work well with the partnerships we have, and we've been pretty successful doing that. In November, Mrs. Atkinson and I had the opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C. And to receive this No Child Left Behind Blue Ribbon School Award. And her husband, Rick, went with us. And, you know, it's just a good experience to be able to...
He was the chaperone, huh?
Rumors going around Cleveland. You know, we had an opportunity to rub shoulders with the principals and teachers from 314 schools who received this award this year. And with all the bad publicity that No Child Left Behind has had, there are some good things that have come out of it. And, you know, we've shown that you can achieve what they want. So we've, for the last 6 years, our school has scored in the top 10% on our core test scores in language arts and math. This last year, our math was 94th percentile, our language arts 93. And well, that's about what we've averaged for the last 6 years. So that puts us in the top 5 or 6% of schools in the nation. Now, over the last 26 years, just a little over 6,000 schools have received this School of Excellence Award. Now, when you think there's 177,000 schools, that's quite an accomplishment.
That's put in perspective, doesn't it?
And this is we're the second school in Emory School District to actually receive the award. You know, so that says a lot for Emory School District and the programs we have going here and the people we have working for us. And so, you know, I've often told my faculty the only thing wrong with Cleveland Elementary is just the principals. You know, but we learned back there that maybe the principals do have a little bit to do with some of it, but you know, it was quite an experience. We heard the National Teacher of the Year, Anthony Mullen, speak. He's a retired New York City policeman. He went to school for about 16 years, night school, to get his teaching degree so he could teach when he retired. And now he's been teaching for 7 years, and he's a resource teacher at high school level. And just what an excellent, excellent speaker he was. And, you know, he really showed his love and dedication to education. And it's kind of interesting in some of the meetings we were in, we just naturally gravitated towards certain tables and then started visiting with people there, the other principals, and found out we all have, nationwide, we have pretty similar challenges in education. And we ended up on a table with principals from Colorado, two principals from Colorado, and the other one's from Idaho or Wyoming. Anyway, it was a really interesting conversation we had there, because we had really similar things, and we were able to take some of their best practices and bring them back and share with the faculty. And we also found out that there's added pressure now. You know, they said there's a big letdown sometimes. You reach this achievement. In order to reach it again, we have to achieve 3 more years in the top 10%. So what we found is this year people heard about it. So we have about 21 students who are coming to our school that either live in Huntington, 2 from East Carbon.
Really?
You know, we have lots of students coming in that we didn't have before. And every time you add some behavioral challenges or other challenges, you know, and they're good kids, but they're not the top students of these other schools. But the parents want them here because we have good teachers. And so we're doing the best that we can. But as optimistic as we are, we can't guarantee 100% that we're going to achieve, you know, that 90th percentile or higher again. You know, but we're still going to strive to be as best as we can. And our growth pattern is continuing to go up. We're 189 students this year, which 2 years ago, I gave you a little spreadsheet and projected in 2 years we did 189. That's what we started with. And so we've had a 37% growth in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And we're looking at another 10% growth in the next 2 years. So a couple of years from now, we're going to be 220 to 225 students again, which, you know, we're going to have to look at not only additional faculty and staff, but maybe even some portable units or something.
When the state is not funding growth.
Yeah, I know. We have one classroom in school that we use for band 1 period a day, and then we use it for some of our small group pullouts, and so probably the next year or two we'll be using that as a classroom. We don't know what the band would have set them. So anyway, and those are good problems. You know, those are good problems. When we got back from, well, I tell you, while we were there too, we also took an opportunity to see some of the sites that were close by. They part of the program because it's on a Washington by Moonlight tour. Had 7 or 8 tour buses completely filled with people, and they took us to Jefferson Memorial, the Franklin D. Roosevelt, and the Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Wall, which was really an opportunity for us. And we also were real close to Arlington National Cemetery, and we had a few minutes and took a taxi out there and spent a few hours, and that was quite an experience. It's hallowed down. It definitely a choice experience. And then we got to go to the Hall of Documents, the National Archives. The morning I flew out, I had about 2 hours, but I didn't go there. I'm going to the airport. And that's hallowed down, too. It's a pretty good experience. And we've got to see some other things. Anyway, we got home and we had a parade, and superintendent and Jed and Senator Hinkins was here, and you know, we had fire trucks and the high patrol sheriff's office. Every class made a banner, and we marched up and down the street and come back to the gym and had a root beer float party, and we celebrated. Because this is an award that everybody earned. It took everybody. So, we'll share this with you, but we'll have you in the hallway down here. This is the Cleveland Elementary School. It recognizes the ribbon school, 7-9. It's really a beautiful award.
That is beautiful. My goodness.
Pass that down. And then we also had some bumper stickers made for the families. You know, it had the seal on that, but we got one each of you.
Oh,
too,
thank
so.
You. That's very nice.
Mrs. Austin, do you have anything you want to add to what we did?
Yeah, I wanted to, first of all, just thank the school district and the school board for allowing me to go to have this opportunity to just apply. It was a really neat opportunity. We got to, you know, meeting with these other schools around the nation was really fun. You know, we found out that I thought it was really interesting that we were so much alike, you know, coming from this little rural area, that we were so much alike in those schools. And that it was like, and we listened to these presentations and we'd say, well, we do that, and we do that, you know, we do that, and here we are in this little school. And so I was kind of really proud of our school because of the things that we do give our children with a lot less help and funding, I think, in Whitman a lot of times, because a lot of these schools had TV specialists, they have music specialists, mm-hmm. they have, you know, specialists, so that when the kids are gone at those times, then the teachers can do, like, the three kids kind of things with some of these other kids, and we don't have those kind of resources yet. We're still able to find time to do the three kids things with our kids, and we are still, you know, at the same levels as some of these other schools that have all of these resources. So I thought I was really proud of our school and our staff. And the other thing that I wish that we could have been able to bring back to our school was how they made us feel there. But we felt so important. And, you know, as educators, we do what we're supposed to do every day. You know, we sit in there and we do it because we know we need to for these kids, you know, and we don't do anything, we don't think we do anything really special, you know, but we are doing a lot of special things, but it's just what we do because we love them. But when we got back there, they were, like, really recognizing us for that, our school. We recognize that you guys spend a lot of hours, extra hours, and you put your heart into this, and that you love and care about all of your children. And we want to recognize you for that, and we want you to know how much we appreciate all of you and your hard work, your school's hard work, and that you are the best in the nation. And it was just like this feeling of so cool, you know? And I think that some of them would be tried to bring back, but, you know, it would be hard to, because they just made us feel like we were so important, and so important to our nation as a whole, you know, and it's just like education is never really, you know, we don't get views like that a lot, you know, and I'm not saying we have a lot of great parents and all that, but people just don't really put us up there like they do the basketball players or whatever, you know. So I just love that, and we wanted to tell, you know, all of our faculty how great they are and how, what good jobs they're really doing. So I felt like that was one of the really neatest things, and I wish that we are kind of taking everybody so that they could feel that, you know. But as a district, like Mr. Crutcher, I think that, you know, we should be so proud of our school and the other schools that we have here, because, like I said, we don't always have things at our fingertips that other schools and other areas do, yet we're able to have the highest, you know, with test scores in the nation for the last 6 years running, and I know our test scores have been good throughout the years, and we're faced with a lot of the same problems that they are. You know, we have a lot of, and it's, you know, we get more people moving in, we get a lot of the different problems and things, but we're able to deal with it and still do this. So, and I was really proud of our school, but I just wanted to, you know, express my appreciation to you for being able to have the opportunity to.
Thank you.
Secretary Duncan spoke to us too. I wish we would sit down and hand out the actual awards, but, you know, but don't necessarily agree with all the politics, but you have some good things to say about education. Now, I asked the superintendent too if I could say a couple things about the CTE programs. Kathy Lyons. Our automotive program recently went to Hobbs, New Mexico again, and placed second overall, which is great, you know, because they're competing with junior colleges. And Handler Peacock, one of my students, took second place overall in individual.
We're really getting tired of them coming back with second place ever.
One of these is first, and all those junior colleges are going to.
That's probably why they're mad.
That's
like, keep your second.
Anyway, they really represent us well, and it's still a very good, viable program. With the legislative budget cuts and the economy the last couple of years, things are a little tough, and some of the partnerships we have with CEU right now, which by July 1st, you know, there's House Bill 69 is going through, or Senate Bill 69 is going through right now, and it's moving fast, and it has the wording on the merger between Utah State University and College of Utah, and what it's going to be called, how it's going to be governed, and Senator Hinton sponsored this bill, and in this it also includes wording that's kind of protects the integrity of the CTE programs and the partnerships that they have with the secondary schools in the region, which is a good thing. But the bill doesn't provide us funding, and with the budget cuts that they've had at CBU, we are looking at probably losing, well, for sure they told us the 2 hours after school construction they will not be able to fund. And right now that's the only program they've told us. And so Superintendent Jared and I have been talking, and they've been talking, and we're going to look at some things. Now, almost the same breath they told us that, they did tell us that CEU just received a green energy grant, and this energy grant, there may be the possibility of funding partial of that back. You know, if we were to break solar power at home, or put a windmill up, something, some alternative energy thing, and they have the funding to do that, and the actual put, I don't know if it'll get the full 2 hours back, but maybe 1 hour of it. And so we're going to look at some ways to fund the other hour, because that's an important program for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you've been supportive of it in the past, and even though we purchased these additional lots. And,
right.
You know, I think it'd be a shame if we lose it just because of a couple of budget cuts. Some of the other CTE programs, you know, in machining and welding, CEU funds two periods of that during the school day. So right now, that's kind of the sacred cow for us. And they're doing everything they can to protect that. And we'll just kind of see what the final cut's going to be. You know, they don't know if it's going to be 2% or 10%. We've been meeting closely. We have a region, CEU has a region CTE advisory board. And Lou Ware used to fill the position from my county, you know, the county that. And so there will be a letter coming out probably this week, first of next week, requesting that one board member become a part of that committee. So probably at your next meeting, you need to, you know, have somebody volunteer or something like that. And the meeting has been over to you now. Kind of govern all the CTE programs in the region. And then with the new workforce legislation that's coming out from the federal side of things, you know, we may see a few new dollars come to Utah and our Perkins money, especially as we get into alternative energy type programs and resources. And there's an alternative energy fair over in Milford in April. And I would like to take Mr. Keel from Emory High, Mr. Nelson from Greenwood High, and a couple of the Greenwood High teachers and go over to this energy fair so that they can kind of see what is going on in Milford. Milford High vocational teachers, vocational programs tied directly into the windmill farm and to the geothermal plant there. And they have students doing internships, and it's quite a good thing. And the presenter, the teacher there at Milford High, grew up in Emory, and a graduate of Emory High, Tammy Schwab. And he will, you know, he can take these teachers and take them aside and kind of show them some different things while they're there. So, the programs are, you know, we still have a lot of students in them. We still have some challenging areas that, you know, we need to work on. And down in Green River with the loss of Mr. Richards, you know, we're kind of absorbing some things, and I don't know how that's going to work. You know, when you have a teacher that's trained in home ec or shop, it's hard to have them teach people in business, but they're doing the best they can and trying to make things work. And so, you know, we'll just kind of see how the budget goes from, you know, that. Anyway, just to report on it.
Thank you. I just, if we were a cheerleading group up here, we would give you a cheer. I just want you to know how much how pleased we are with what you've accomplished here. And I know that the teachers and your staff are all committed to students. I was talking to my daughter, and she says, what's different about Emory County? Because she said, I've been in California, and she says, I decided it's that they're invested in their students, and they meet them in their community, and they know their parents, and they want their kids to succeed, because when the kids succeed, you know, the community succeeds. And you've certainly exemplified that. You feel it here, and the teachers are all committed, and we are so proud of you. I hope you know that. We probably don't express that as much as we should, but we are so proud of the things that you do here. And they don't go unnoticed. They really don't. We do appreciate the things that you do, and the time and the effort and the staying after and those kinds of things to make schools better. Thank you so much, and pass that on to your staff here. We really do appreciate that. And thanks for your report on the technical aspects of the district. We appreciate that. That other added extra that you do, that's a big thing. Thank you. We will go to the superintendent's report.
Well, I hate to go with something so positive.
Oh,
the legislature.
Oh, we glad we had a high point, anyway.
It's going to be kind of difficult now. This is a sudden drop off a cliff. The legislature had one more week in session, and that's basically what I want to report to you is some of the things that are happening. There's so many things that are still up in the air in this last week as far as budgets and other things. There are some things we do know. One of those things is happening to us this current budget year, which we did not anticipate. Matter of fact, I don't think it was even recognized for the most part throughout the state until Jared brought it to my attention. And Jared came in one day and said, have you seen what they did on the state-supported voters and board leeways that the state supports? It's not local board leeways, but the state. They had done, there was a miscalculation this year by the State Office of Education on those programs. And so the legislature passed House Bill 4, which none of us had even seen. And it was already passed, went through the House and Senate and passed. And I did some emailing to people on our legislative committees up there, and none of them knew anything about it. So when we got into our meeting that next week, Todd Hobber, who's the associate superintendent of the state over legislation and finance, he was giving another report. I asked him about it, and it was almost like they didn't want us to really understand it. But he said there wasn't there, it was a miscalculation on this year's budget, and I asked him if he would send a spreadsheet out to all of the superintendents and business officials that really showed what the impact of that on the current year's budget for districts, and we agreed to do that. It took about a week to get it. But basically, we on this year's budget, it cost us $69,848 as a district on that redistribution. They redistributed it to correct the miscalculation. Part of that was also differences in the educator salary adjustments that were made that they didn't fully fund. So they took money out of Social Security retirement account for every district, moved it over into the educator salary adjustments to make that whole, and then redistributed all the other money. Some districts like Alpine and Jordan picked up between $1 to $2 million on this year's budget, and most rural districts lost money on it. Ranged anywhere from a gain of $1.6 million in Alpine to a loss of $900,000 in Granite, even though they're larger districts. Some huge amounts, and some of those superintendents out there were just flabbergasted by it because they hadn't been even informed. But we will have a reduction on this year's budget of almost $70,000 because of that. Other than that, we haven't heard of any reductions. But of course, that will go into next year and on and on because it's ongoing. As far as next year's budget, the legislature started out by talking about a 3 to 5% cut across the board, 5% for most agencies, they are talking, you know, they are saying they're not going to cut public education that deep. The governor's budget, of course, held us to the same funding that we had last year, which is still a cut, because you have increased costs with insurance and seven lanes and a lot of things where the costs go up. So far, they haven't indicated what that's going to be. On the news tonight, I did hear someone say something about a 1% to public education. There are some things we do know on next year, though, is the one thing is they are eliminating the student success block grant. Last year, they eliminated the quality teaching block grant. This year, they're eliminating the student success block grant, which in that block grant, we have our ELL programs, we have our what we call House Bill 312, which is reading, where all the schools write reading plans, and we allocated money there. It was about $34,000. And there's some other things that are eliminated there. So that we know that's going to be gone. And we also know that they're talking about some reductions to programs such as adult education. Transportation, if you've been listening, the bill they have right now would extend the funding or cut the funding for transportation for secondary students who live right now. If they're within 2 miles of the school, you're required to transport them, and the state funds that, or at least they fund most of it, not all of it. They're talking about extending that to 3 miles, which I don't know what impact that would have on us, because most of our buses are running farther than that anyway, because we're so spread out. Could have some impact in the Orangeville area, but we still have buses, some that would have to be transported to high school. I don't know that that would have an impact, a huge impact that way. It would on the inner city schools, it would have, you know, it would be huge as far as budget. But we're not sure yet how that's going to impact us and whether or not that'll. It does allow, I think the bill does allow the local boards to increase their transportation tax locally if you have to maintain transportation the way you want it. And they're talking about up to a 5% cut in most of our programs, but right now we're not sure on the budget. We're just still waiting to hear what the cuts will be. But one of the things that will hit us next year that we anticipate is the state retirement system is talking about increasing the employer's contribution to the retirement from 8%, actually not 8%, it's 14%, 14 point something percent of salaries up to 16%. It's about a 2% increase in the employer's contribution to retirement, which is like a 2% cut to our school district, really. It's $200,000. And that's in the hands of the state retirement board. The legislature doesn't do that. So we're hoping that that doesn't happen right now in this particular year, but we're anticipating that it probably will happen. So we know that there are going to be some impacts on the budget. We're just not sure yet how much they are. Some of the bills that there's about 80 education-related bills right now, and I think that got added to just this last few days. But some of them that have been more out in the open, House Bill 42, which would extend the period of time that an employee could be kept on probation for 2 years, the local board could decide that. But you would need to have a policy to outline the reasons for extending the period of time to obtain career status. That did pass. There were two retirement bills, and I'm not going to go through all of these that I gave you, but this one you probably need to understand a little bit, and I don't fully understand it. It's very complicated. The retirement bill is about 80 pages long, but what Jared and I have been able to pull out of it is that the changes, there's two bills. There's Senate Bill 43 and Senate Bill 63. Senate Bill 43 deals with reemployment, and basically what that does is if an employee, a school district employee, retires and then they come back to work within a year, then their retirement is canceled and they go on building retirement service credit just like they hadn't left. if they're out for a year and come back and are employed again, then they have to make a choice. They can either continue with their retirement and work, or they can cancel the retirement and then continue to get to add retirement credit. So it's a choice they have to make. Can't involve that, but they have to be out at least a year. Senate Bill 63 is the new retirement bill, and I'll give you a quick summary. It's called a Tier 2. There's a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 retirement. Tier 1 would be those new employees who were hired between now and next school year. And basically, they enter the same kind of system we're in right now. But beginning July 1st of 2011, anyone who is hired goes into the Tier 2 retirement system, and it has two parts. One's called a hybrid system, and the other is a defined contribution system, and they have to choose. Of course, the defined contribution is like a 401k. So there would be a certain percentage of their salary that would go into that, and then it would be invested however they want. The hybrid system would be similar to what we have now, but what it would do is require 35 years of service to get full retirement, so this turned 30 years. And then there would be instead of 2% per year, there'd be 1.5% per year of service on the retirement after 35 years. Or there, if you get into it deep enough, there's some exceptions. If you're 65 years old and have this many years, or 60 years and have this many years, you can still get the 1.5% for the year left. There would continue to be a 401k, employer contribution, a death benefit, and a disability benefit, and a 2.5% cost of living adjustment each year on the retirement allowance. That's the basics of that new plan. Some of the things that would be a little bit different is that the way I read it anyway, is if the retirement board after that point decides to increase the contribution made to the retirement system, the percentage of the salary, the employer is capped at a certain percent, and then the employee would put in the rest. So it would become a contributory system again instead of a non-contributory system. So anything above what they set that the employer has to provide, then the employee would have to put that in to the retirement system. The other thing is that changes the re-entry requirement from 8 to 10 years. Right now, if an employee quits and they re-enter the system or rehired within 8 years, then they pick up kind of where they left off and they don't lose any of those years that they initially had. They're extending that up to 10 years now so that you could come back into the system before 10 years instead of 8 and still not lose any on your retirement credit. And they also, the way I read it, they will average not the highest 3 years in employment, but the highest 5 years. There would be a change in that. So, and there's a lot of other little details in there that no one seems to understand yet that have to be worked out. But those who are currently employed, there'll be no changes in the retirement. It'll be the same retirement system that you're currently in. And those who are hired within the next year, I think, continue in this same retirement system. But beginning July, on or after July 1st of 2011, they go into this Tier 2 retirement system, any new hires. The one question I haven't had answered is if an employee quits now and then comes back into the system after July 1st of next year, do they go into the new system or do they pick up where they left off? I'm assuming they would go into the new system. They would maintain the years they currently have, but they would go into the new system for the rest of the years. So those are some major changes in retirement. Do you think of anything you may have missed here on this? You have to realize that by increasing employers' contribution by that 2%, that is a 2% cut in this district's budget. So this whole doesn't hold anybody home. But that decision is a legislative decision, and that's the state retirement board that makes that decision. So that we're still waiting to hear what they're going to do. One of the things they did say that could happen, and I don't know that it will, but to offset that, they have talked about taking the 1.5% that goes into the 401k now and using that to offset the 2% increase that the state retirement board would make, so that it wouldn't be quite as much of a cut. So we're in a new age. The bill that would allow advertising on school buses is dead. It died. I don't know if if you want to see your school buses going down the road with Edith Jones on it. But there was a bill that would have allowed commercial advertising on school buses to raise money for the school district. But that died. You can read some of the rest of those. One that is a little bit of a concern is the Senator Stevenson's bill on special elections. This would prohibit, it says, a local political subdivision, which would be your cities and counties. It would prohibit them from holding special elections for bonds or levies or leeways or sales tax use without it. Initially, it was a unanimous vote, but it was amended to say 2/3 vote of the local legislative body. But what this bill does is limits for school districts, except for a voted leeway or creating a new district where you have to elect new board members, it limits bond elections to November. You can't have a special election. At least that's the way I'm reading it. You could not have a special election for bond elections in June or any other time. Right now, you could schedule them as a district anytime you want, but you have to pay for the election. Most of the time, districts have used the June primary or the primary election or the general election, but his bill would eliminate that option. And one of the problems I see with that is that it does not allow a district the opportunity to lock into the lowest interest rates. Because if you wait till November, then you may not have the lowest interest rate on the bond. That was still being debated in the Senate. Another one would require districts to not promote a student if they're not reading at grade level in first, second, or third grade. And they have to get razors for some of our third graders to shave with at some point. There are some exceptions. The one exception, it does allow, I think the bill does allow, if the student is not reading at grade level, it does allow the principal to override that and to, under certain circumstances, allow the student to move on, principal of the school. And there was one other, I can't remember, I don't think maybe I didn't put it on here, there's another one I wanted to mention. But let's see it now. There are some capital equalization bills out there, and there's some taxation bills that we have to sort out and examine. Some of them could have major impacts, some may not. But those are some of the things that are going on right now with the legislature. Unless you've heard something that you have a question about, you can try and answer. I'm going to quit with that. One more week, it's going to take a couple of weeks before it filter down to us. But we're in session one more week, and then we'll be getting all of the reports. It's kind of like when you watch the State of the Union address. You have the State of the Union address, and then you have the other party's response, and maybe you have the media that tells you what really happened. So we're waiting for the state office to tell us what really happened when it's all over. So, the one other one I wanted to mention was Senate Bill 16 on assessment. This bill did eliminate the requirement to give the Iowa test in the third, fifth, and eighth grades. That means the state's going to have to find a new way to measure some of the on-level reading and some of the things they use the Iowa for. But you still can, but it does not require us to give the norm reference testing that we're currently giving in the fall. We still have to give the core testing, but not the Iowa. Do any of you have any bills you heard about or questions?
How's that clear letter? How's that one holding up?
Well, that was eliminated last year.
Okay. so it won't be at all.
Quality teacher block grant was eliminated last year. What the school district did is we tried to maintain it for this year. And we don't know what will happen next year with the budget cutting. We actually maintained that out of local funds because the legislature eliminated on last year's budget, or this year's budget we're in now. And we tried to maintain that for an additional year, hoping that things would get better, but we'll just have to. It'll be one of many things that we'll have to look at depending on what kind of cuts we have to take. But yeah, it was eliminated by the legislature a year ago, and we just funded it on our own. So let's keep it going.
Representative Washington sponsored a bill about allowing the district to take capital outlay money.
She wasn't the sponsor. Patrick Painter, who does represent Montgomery County, that's the Charlotte County had a bill, and he stopped his bill. There is a bill right now, and I'm trying to think if it's like House Bill 149. There is a bill that would allow for 2 years school districts to use capital outlay funds for M&O purposes. But it's just for 2 years, so it's almost like using one-time money. You really couldn't. It would have to be, if that bill passes, you'd have to be really cautious what you did with it. We've tried to promote, or at least I have, really strongly with our legislators, a bill that would allow local districts or local boards to make the determination to use a certain percentage of your capital outlay for M&O purposes, but my view of that is that the use of that fund should be restricted to maintaining buildings so that you would use, if you did that, it would be in a time when you have to make budget cutting in your M&O budget like we're in now, but you could use capital outlay funds to pay for custodial salaries, maintenance salaries, utility costs, you know, those things that are associated with your facilities and your buildings. And then the money that's freed up from that could be used for the cuts, so you don't have to cut people. But so far that's not up there. I've talked to our legislators about it several times, but there is a bill that was for 2 years. Next year and the following year would allow you to do some of that, but then it would end. So anything you use that money for ongoing, you'd have to then take it as a cut at some point. So I don't know how much support that'll get. The legislature is not really high on that idea, that concept, but it could pass. And the reason it could pass is because of what's happening in Jordan School District and Grand County School District. If it passes, that'll be the reason that it does. So. Okay.
Hey, thank you. We'll keep our ears open for those changes. We will go ahead and have the business administrator's report.
And if you thought it couldn't get any worse.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to talk about audits.
Oh.
I am, but it probably actually is a little bit better than the budget situation. And actually, we've had several audits in the school district. I know special ed had one not too long ago that was pretty substantial. And Janine just went through one. We had the pleasure of having an IRS auditor come to our office on February 18th, so we were a little nervous about that, yeah. they did notify us beforehand, but it was on the 18th, and the audit was to look at our 941 form, which is the quarterly statement we send in that verifies how much income tax goes to the IRS, the Montgomery County School District. So that was the main crux of the audit, but he did look at everything that goes into income and anything that could be considered a taxable benefit to employees. So, you know, we looked at all of our W-2s, our 1099 forms, which are the forms we send out to, like, vendors for how much we pay for any services. It covered employee car usage, uniform allowances, life insurance, all of our fringe benefits, so it was fairly comprehensive and, like I said, made us kind of nervous, you know.
Yeah.
But I was actually really pleased with how it came out. We did have two or three small almost immaterial things that he talked to us about that we need to look at. Probably a couple of things in policy, just little wordings that we might need to change, and I'll get working on that in the next month or two. One of the things was that on our uniform allowances, we haven't collected receipts to justify. We basically sent employees a check and haven't required them to submit receipts. So that's one thing that we need to do. There will be some specific situations with car use where we will need to include that car use as a taxable benefit to employees. Won't be a real big thing, but there are some specific areas there. Our insurance was fine. Our W-2s and 1099s were all good. And also one little area on our mill reimbursement. And this was something we had no idea about. But if an employee travels on a trip during the day and doesn't stay overnight and comes back, so for example, goes to Salt Lake, spends all day in meetings and comes home, if the district reimburses that employee to the mill, it's supposed to be a taxable benefit to that employee.
Mm-hmm. No, think about that.
I don't agree with it at all. And I told the guy if he forward that to his superiors, I'd appreciate it. But
what that really could create is a situation where an employee who would normally get up at 4:35 in the morning and drive to a meeting will just go and stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll cost the district more money.
Yeah. One other thing we can do to remedy that is if we can just pay a per diem amount beforehand and it's not a reimbursement, then it doesn't apply. So there are some different things we'll look at. And like I said, all of these things are very minor. He even said that. Nothing that you wrote down, he said, was even a big issue at all, but they have to find something.
I do.
But anyway.
He felt that we were doing the right things and doing what we're supposed to do.
So it ended up being fairly positive. Just a little nerve-wracking, like all of us are. But I think that's all I wanted to report on.
Thank you, Dad. Thanks for doing that, making the report, Dad. You're certainly very capable there. Are there any other things from audience that we haven't covered? Do you have item and business for closed meeting?
Yes, we do. We have personnel and possible litigation.
Okay.
I move that we join the closed meeting to address personnel and possible litigation.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
And I would like to invite you to come and meet at the school anytime.
Really? Can we?
Board members at 7:50 a meeting.
It's worth it. Worth it.
295.
Something happened during the lunch hour that kids would want to stay. There ought to be some performing something.
They got the only really great high school kids yet.
It's true.
And it's only a 40 minutes they want to go
away.
I thought about opening an off-campus cafeteria, though. Was there anyone who could come?
No, really? No, I think you're right.
Because I thought, if we had an off-campus cafeteria, they'd all come.
Yeah, they would.
They'd bring in the reduced and the paid. And
absolutely.
Thank you. And they would get out and have their environment.
Before you did.
Yeah.
We'll put on your
back.
There might be something there. Yeah, that's good thinking. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You can name the dog.
I'll take my back.